The words of God given to us today is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. It is page 322 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. In chapter 7 of the Gospel of Luke, there is a story about what happened when Jesus was visiting a house of a Pharisee. At the time, Pharisees were people who had resolved to strictly observe the law and were very much respected by the Jews. But because they thought that they should appear as if they were observing the law, even when they couldn't, they often used a packaging of hypocrisy. Jesus said that the way they did that made them look like they were whitewashed tombs. And they thought of Jesus, who says such things, as a thorn in the eye. But a Pharisee named Simon maybe didn't feel that way about Jesus and invited him to a meal. But something unexpected happened during the meal. A woman who was considered a sinner in that neighborhood brought a jar of perfume and started crying by the feet of Jesus and wetted his feet with her tears. And she wiped them away with her hair, kissed his feet, and poured perfume on his feet. But Jesus didn't stop her and remained still. People thought that this was really strange. And no matter what society it is, there is the harsh look of hatred and loathing that sinners feel that they receive from people. It was the same back then, and even Simon, who had invited Jesus, muttered to himself, if this person was a real prophet, he must know what kind of a person this woman who is touching him is. This woman is a sinner. At that time, the rabbis taught that a man and a woman must be more than about 4 cubits, or approximately 1.8 meters apart. Simon thought that when that woman started approaching Jesus, even if he was not aware of it in the beginning, the minute he realized what was happening, he should have said, "Don't come so near me," or he should have left and avoided the scene. And all the more, she was a sinner. But even so, Jesus did not say a word. If Jesus had sternly rebuked her, saying, "Where do you think this is?" and sent her back, maybe the Pharisees would have thought that Jesus possibly was a prophet. Jesus knew what was in Simon's heart and told him a story and asked him a question. There were two people who owed money to a moneylender. One person owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50 denarii. Now, 500 denarii was equivalent to about a year and 6 months' wages, and 50 denarii was equivalent to about 2 months' wages. If the moneylender realized that neither had the ability to pay off the debt, and told these two people that they did not have to pay back the debt, who would love the moneylender more? Then Simon said, well, I think the one who had been forgiven a greater debt would love the moneylender more. Now Luke chapter 7 verse 47 testifies as to what Jesus then said to Simon. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. At the time when an invited guest arrived, Jewish people kissed him and washed his feet as a sign of welcome. Judah was a very dry place, and since people wore sandals, their feet were constantly dirty. So the host, when a guest arrived, made his wife or a servant bring water and wash the guest's feet. Even if the host did not wash the guest's feet, he at least brought water to him. And before eating, the host poured oil on the head of the guest to signify that the guest was a very honorable person. David, in Psalm 23, verse 5, confessed that, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He is overwhelmed by the reception he's getting at the banquet God is giving. He is confessing that he's being treated with such honor at God's banquet. Now, Simon the Pharisee did not do any of these things. And moreover, Simon the Pharisee saw the woman only as a sinner. He should have thought about what had happened to her. What had made her to live a life like this? But Simon did not do that. And so Jesus talked about the two debtors and asked him about who would love more. Simon only focused on the fact that woman had many sins. But Jesus, the Lord, turned the question into who loves more. That Jesus is taking the side of the woman and not Simon. Now this assessment of Jesus, that the sinful woman is better than Simon, is not easy to accept, even for us. And the Bible doesn't say that the Simon was an unethical man. It neither says that this woman had completely turned around and had been living a faithful life for a long time. The reason that the Lord said what he said, even so, was because he was speaking from the point of view of forgiveness. In other words, if a person knows forgiveness of sins, even if she or may not appear respectable from the point of the view of the world, God will remember the person's heart. And if a person does not know of forgiveness of sins, then even if that person has accomplished many things from the perspective of the world and is respected, he or she is not a person who is acknowledged by God. In other words, it does not mean that it is okay to live like the woman, but that in understanding one is a sinner and going forward towards a new life, the sinful woman was better than Simon the Pharisee. Jesus' mercy and gentleness shown to this woman probably made the woman think that the world was a place of meaning, a place worth living. And in Luke chapter 19, there is a story of Zacchaeus, a tax collector and a rich man. Now, Zacchaeus was short. The reason that the Bible bothers to tell us about this is probably because it had a significant impact on his life. The inferiority complex he must have felt about his height probably led him to become a tax collector. And although people looked down on tax collectors as being traitors of their country, it brought him enormous wealth. Further, he became the chief tax collector, overseeing other tax collectors in Jericho area. Zacchaeus became curious about this person Jesus, so he went out to the street where Jesus was to pass by. But because of so many people who were heading for Jerusalem to observe the Passover, he couldn't see him. It was made even more difficult because of his height. In that situation, he climbed up a sycamore fig tree. This was a completely an extraordinary thing to do given his age and his social position. This is how great his curiosity about Jesus was. At the time, the most representative of jobs that God looked down on by other people were shepherds and prostitutes. But tax collectors got even more despised than these two. The people in the first two groups of jobs were very poor, and they had no education and couldn't get a different job. But the job of a tax collector couldn't be done by just anybody. People who had quite a bit of learning bid for the job. And tax collectors were very rich. When faced with the question, if you run into a snake and a tax collector at the same time on the road, which should you kill first? The Jewish people at the time apparently answered, the tax collector. This is how much the tax collectors were despised. And people thought that it was only natural that they receive such treatment. Now Jesus seeing Zacchaeus on the sycamore fig tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus received him with glad heart. People who saw it started to mutter among themselves. He went to stay at a house of a sinner. People didn't say that Jesus went to stay at Zacchaeus' house. And they didn't say he went to stay at the chief tax collector's house. They sneered and said he went to stay at a sinner's house. To them, a tax collector and a sinner was the one and the same. The reason Jesus went to stay at Zacchaeus' house was because he was still a child of Abraham, although he may have been despised and treated poorly by people. The mercy and gentleness Jesus showed to Zacchaeus completely changed his life. He said, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now today's text tells us that this attitude of compassion, mercy, and gentleness that Jesus showed to people is something that we Christians must have. Apostle Paul encouraged the believers of Philippi church that they should rejoice in the Lord always. He recorded the word rejoice no less than twice in verse 4 alone. And it was written down in a command form. It was probably because It was not so easy for the members of the Philippi church to live in Philippi. At Philippi, where there was a lot of Roman citizens, people were influenced by the principle of pleasure, Epicureanism of Rome, and thought of the culture of pleasure, of eating and drinking, was the best, and boasted of their ethical looseness. On the other hand, the legalists treated the observation of dietary laws that distinguished between what can and cannot be eaten was itself the essence of faith, while considering circumcision, undergoing circumcision to obtain salvation as a sole sign of one being saved. So in a place which was full of people who lived by the pleasure principle and legalist principle, it probably wasn't easy to live as a friend rather than an enemy of the cross. That is why Apostle Paul encourages the believers to think of their citizenship as being in heaven, and that they must live a life which awaits for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior from heaven. This is living in the Lord, having the same mind in the Lord, and rejoicing in the Lord. If so, how can we rejoice in the Lord? Can we do it by watching 10 series or programs like Gag Concert and Drowning in Comedy or People Looking for Laughter every day? Or can we do it by looking into the mirror morning, noon, and night, smiling and brainwashing ourselves by telling ourselves, let's rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. The joy that the Bible talks about does not come from the satisfaction of outer conditions. It's not a response of breaking into laughter in hearing or seeing some words or actions. There is something much more fundamental, much more deep to it. Therefore, the joy that the Bible talks about is related to a character of a person. In chapter 5 of Galatians, 9 fruits of the Spirit are mentioned: love, joy, peace, patience, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the second of these is joy. This fruit of the Spirit can never be had except through a character of a person. That is why, although the fruit of the Spirit is 9, are 9. They are not expressed in plural form, but in singular form, because they are all manifested in a single character. These fruits do not mature one after another, one by one, but all at the same time, a bit by bit. The first half of the verse 5 tells us, in more concrete terms, what we must do to live a life in which we rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The best way to rejoice in the Lord is, there are two ways to rejoice in the Lord, and one is to let other people know of our gentleness, and the other is not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, presenting our request to God, as stated in verse 6, which we will look at next week. The gentleness in Greek is epikeia, and it is not an easy word to translate. In King James Version, it is translated as moderation. In NIV English Bible, it is translated as gentleness. In ESV English Bible, it has been translated as reasonableness. And in many other versions of the Bible, it has been translated variously as patience, forbearance, and softness. And this probably shows how difficult it is to translate epikeia. The original Greek meaning of this word is justice and something better than justice. The word connotes an attitude which does not ignore justice, but something which achieves justice with something more, with warmth. Among the two international airports in New York is LaGuardia Airport. This airport has been named after Fiorello LaGuardia, who served as a mayor of New York for three terms between 1934 to 1945. His parents had immigrated to New York from Italy, and the first thing that he did when he became a mayor was to wipe out the mafia, although there were the same Italian descendants. Although he belonged to the Republican Party, he initiated legislations which were so progressive as to be labeled socialist and supported the New Deal initiative of Franklin Roosevelt. His name, Fiorello, meant a small flower in Italian, and it became his nickname. Like his nickname, he was only 157 centimeters tall, but he lived as a giant. There is a famous episode about the time that he was a judge in New York. One day in January of 1935, when the Great Economic Depression was at its height, an old woman stood trial at a night court in a poor neighborhood of New York for the crime of stealing bread. This woman's son-in-law had left home after losing his job. Her daughter was stricken with illness, and her two granddaughters were crying because of hunger. Now, the old woman got caught stealing the bread for her granddaughters. But the bakery owner pressed the charges to the end, claiming, "This neighborhood has so many small criminals, thieves, she has to be punished as a warning to others." Judge LaGuardia decided the case as follows. There is no exception to the law. The defendant is sentenced to $10 fine or 10 days in prison. Now, 80 years ago, $10 was not a small sum of money. Moreover, to somebody who had to steal bread because she didn't have money, $10 was not an amount she could afford to pay as a fine. So people at the court started talking. Then the judge continued to speak. "While people who were hungry were wandering the streets, I ate too much good food to my fill. The citizens of this city are also responsible for the crime of this old woman. So I sentenced myself to $10 fine and a fine of 50 cents to everyone in the court." It is said that the money that was collected that night was $57.50, and even the owner of the bakery paid 50 cents. So the old woman paid the fine of $10 and left the court with the remaining $47.50. If the claim made by the bakery owner was about justice, the decision of Judge LaGuardia was gentleness. It is possible that those people who gave hostile looks to the woman who was a sinner and who poured perfume on the feet of Jesus was a look of justice. But Jesus regarded the woman with a look of gentleness.
"사람들이 세리장인 삭개오를 경원시하는 것은
that people looked down on the chief collector Zacchaeus could have been an act of justice. But Jesus embraced Zacchaeus with the act of gentleness. The gentleness of Jesus changed the life of the woman and transformed the life of Zacchaeus. I will read the first part of the verse 5 again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Now it is hard enough to show gentleness to people you like. But it says we must show gentleness to all people. Of course, to older people, to younger people, of course, to the husband's family and to wife's family, of course, to people who are gentle, but even to those who are rough, to women and to men, to people above me and people below me, to Korean people and to foreigners. This is making our gentleness be evident to all. It is only when we struggle with all of our might to make our gentleness be evident to all that we will come to realize what it is to rejoice in the Lord in a deep way. If so, then how can we better practice a life in which we make our gentleness be evident to all? The second half of the verse 5 tells us the answer. The Lord is near. That the Lord is near can mean time-wise, but it could also mean in terms of space. In terms of time, it says, there's not much time left before we will meet our Lord. If everyone knew how many months they have left on this earth, they would try to be as gentle with everyone they know and live with as much as possible. And if you know that you're existing in the same space as the Lord, you would for sure be conscious of the Lord. At one time, there was a time when jokes about high school homeroom mottos was very popular. Among them, there were these mottos: how can you sleep with your grades? Today's drooling is tomorrow's tears. The gate to college is narrow, but we are skinny. The blackboard is your boyfriend. The last one must have meant that you should listen to your teacher while he or she is teaching by the blackboard. To exaggerate this point, I guess one could have said the blackboard is one bin and the textbooks are hyun bin. And if this was a classroom motto for a girls' school, the motto would have gone like this: the blackboard is your girlfriend. There is also a motto which said, there is also conquering of outer space. In Korean, the conquering of outer space is 우주 정복, which means 우, we, and 주, which means, which comes from 주말, meaning the weekend, 정, which comes from 정석, which means a study guide, and 복, which means 복습, comes from 복습, which means to review over and over again. In other words, we will review our study guides on weekends. But the motto that makes students sit up the most was probably, Mom is watching. If the mom actually came to the classroom and was sitting there, the attitude and the daily life of a child, of a student, would surely be different. The reason that Christians do not mature in their faith attitude and faith life is probably because they do not believe that the Lord is near. What is much more important is not whether you believe with your words, but whether you believe with your life. Now, what would be the other reason that Apostle Paul is telling people that making your gentleness be evident to all is the way to rejoice in the Lord? It is because he is the living witness of somebody who rejoices, who came to rejoice in the Lord by having received the grace of the Lord's gentleness. The first letter that Paul wrote, feeling the nearness of the Lord next to him, in order to pass down to young Pastor Timothy the truth he learned through his work, is the 1 Timothy. In that letter, he professes what kind of a person he was, what kind of grace he received. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul describes his past self with three words: a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. A blasphemer means someone who insults and brings down the Lord with words. A persecutor means someone who pursues a person on the run and makes them fall. And a violent man means a person who tortures others with arrogance. Paul says that he lived such a life because he didn't know. But does it mean that he was an uneducated person who had not even gone to elementary school and that's why he didn't know? No. He was a student of Gamaliel, who was known to be the leading scholar at the time. That he did not know then means that he did not know the Lord personally. He's confessing that he was able to be transformed despite his terrible life because of the grace of the Lord. In other words, the gentleness of the Lord who came to him on the road to Damascus. And Paul, in saying that he was the worst of sinners, means not that he was the leader of the sinners, but that he is the first. In other words, since Jesus Christ, who comes to save sinners, lines up people according to the weightiness of their sins, he was the first one. And he is saying that he was able to become the pastor that he was because the Lord had long-suffering patience for him. He is saying, it is the gentleness of the Lord which made me who I am. Who in the Bible became the ancestor of faith without being clothed with the gentleness of the Lord? When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, if they had not been clothed with the gentleness of God, they would not have been able to wear the leather clothing that God had prepared. When Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, if he had not been clothed with the gentleness of God, we would not remember who he is. When Moses killed an Egyptian and lived as a shepherd in the desert of Midian, if he had not been clothed with the gentleness of God, he would not have become the leader of Exodus, but a man who started the practice of living with his wife's family. When David violated Bathsheba and killed her husband, if he had not been clothed with God's gentleness, he would have become a model of shameless king who would do anything to get what he desired. When Peter denied the Lord, whom he had followed for 3 years, and cursed at him, if he had not been clothed with the Lord's gentleness, he would have remained as just one of many fishermen of Galilee at the time. If we quietly look back on our lives, weren't there so many moments in which the Lord showed his gentleness to us? If we know this, shouldn't we also obey the words, "Let your gentleness be evident to all"? Now is truly an age which truly longs for justice and gentleness. Let us pray. Father God, when Pharisees only sent looks of prejudice and judgment to the sinful woman, the Lord sent the look of gentleness to her. That look renewed her life. When people only gave the fists of hatred and judgment to Zacchaeus, the Lord extended his arm of gentleness, and that arm sublimated life of Zacchaeus. Adam and Eve, Abraham, Moses, David, an apostle such as Peter, an apostle Paul, could any of them become the people we know of them if it were not for the gentleness of the Lord? We look back on our lives with honesty. If it were not for the gentleness of the Lord, we would not be who we are today. We would have been discarded, people not good for anything. Please help us to become people of gentleness by being clothed in your grace. Father God, we pray that you will once again show your gentleness for our country. Our society is becoming a strange place where there is no justice or gentleness. Please allow people who live here to become good citizens who apply the ruler of justice to themselves. May politicians and bureaucrats, business leaders and workers, scholars and students, husbands and wives, parents and children, all raise themselves up with fairness. So may the society become more pure, a brighter place. We pray that you will help us to become gentle people who apply the ruler of gentleness rather than judgment to others. And so may the society become a warmer place worth living in. We hope and pray, God, that the people of this church will first do this so that they will deeply experience what it is like to rejoice in the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.